That's our part of it.
Council meeting for Tuesday, August the 13th, 2019 is hereby called to order at 9 a.m. I would like to welcome everyone who's attending today. If you have electronic devices, I would please ask that you turn them to the silent mode. We conduct a respectful council meeting, and for your information, our washroom is directly out the exit door and to your left. We have circulated the agenda. I have no changes to that agenda. Are there any amendments or changes to that agenda today? Hearing none, a motion to accept the agenda as circulated would be in order. Moved by Deputy Mayor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Fraley. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 3.0 presentations, we have no presentations today. Under number 4.0 tabling of petitions, we have no petitions to table today. Are there any other petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Under 5.0 public question comment session, this is an opportunity for members of the public to speak for up to 5 minutes. I would advise that our council meetings are audio recorded. Leon, if you'd like to state your name and your address, please.
Yeah, Leon Robinson, Common Street, Liverpool. A couple items here, Mr. Chairman. Under 10.1, the odor issue, so I'm going to have to leave so early because of the medical appointment. And I know it'll be discussed there, but it doesn't seem to be as bad at this point in time. What could you give me just a quick update as to if the de-sludging is completed?
The de-sludging is being conducted by the contractor as we speak. It should finish this week. They've been at it for a few weeks. Of course, they break down after the first few days, so they're diligently working to remove the sludge, and as I said, it should be completed this week.
Thank you. Under thinking about Queen's Place, we have the Hicks Home Society coming there for the weekend, and there's no concession there for it. That's been out of commission now for a while, and I know they're looking for, I guess, other people to help out with providing food and so on. When does the concession stand, and what is the holdup that we don't have out there?
There does not seem to be a huge interest in operating that canteen at the present time. We've been looking to see what individuals may be interested. Nothing is complete at this time, Leon.
Yeah, I understand the money situation there as to how the products and so on. That is not real lucrative for people involved here.
That would be an individual decision made by anyone who would like to operate.
Thank you. And the other item here is the 8.1, the waterfront development there, which is very good to see that they're looking at developing the area. My concern there would be, you know, I had a presentation here a few months ago with respect to the flooding of the parking lot area there, which is adjacent to what you're looking at. And they were saying there, the consultants, that the water's going to keep coming up and so on. It may not necessarily be like that for a while, but you've got to get behind the parking area. You've got to have a place for people to park if you want to utilize this area. So I'm wondering if we're putting the cart before the horse or if it's going to be done in tandem. The mitigation of the water and the development.
The consultant who was performing the review for the flooding issue on the waterfront would have a report due sometime early this fall, I expect. The waterfront development and the other report on waterfront flooding would be working in tandem together to ensure that all would work well at the end of the day, considering all of the issues.
So it'd be working in tandem with each other, is what you're saying. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Yes.
Yes, my name is Sylvia Cherry. I'm a resident of LaBelle area. I'm on Island View Terrace. And that is my mailing address, LaBelle, Nova Scotia. And I am also the treasurer of the Greater Malibu Lake Waterworks Association, which is a large contributor to the tax coffers of Queens County, along with Forest Point Group, Carver Acres, Blue Point Group, mature developments that sustain ourselves with some amenities from Queens, but for the most part, 90% of these developments take care of themselves. And I'm here to represent the community of LaBelle regarding the development of the trailer park on LaBelle Road. It is disappointing that it has got to this stage of the game. Residents out there feel that the county should have had the bylaw officer there, and it shouldn't have got to the point that it is now. And that, you know, most of us, all of us in these developments have to abide by the Queens bylaws. And it's very disappointing that we feel that the region is not enforcing your own bylaws. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Yes.
I have to help myself. Good morning, Your Worship, and members of council. It's been a long time since I spoke at a council meeting, so I'm really happy to see that you provide this opportunity to folks to come in and get whatever issues they're thinking about before you. So thank you for this. It's a privilege.
Would you like to state your name and your address for the record, please?
I'm Francine Cosman. I live in Bedford at 223 Moyers Mill Road. And I've been coming to Queens for the summer times for 45 years. So I'm no spring chicken, obviously. I am concerned, as others are, about the development that's happened on just off Liddell Road. And the concerns I have are around the enforcement of Queens bylaws. It's an R5 zone, but I understand you have to have a certain acreage to be able to develop an R5 zone with so many trailers on it and RVs and so on. I'm sure you're more knowledgeable about this site development than I am, but I do have concerns. I've been listening to members of the public, and the concerns I have are about the enforcement of the bylaws and the due diligence issue around that site as it was being developed. Is it big enough to hold the number of RVs that are on it? How far has the land been cleared and stripped in terms of the protection of the water frontage? If the vegetation and trees are removed and that's in opposition to what the Queens bylaws say, and I don't have an answer for that because I haven't walked the shoreline. I'm concerned about the septic field capacity. If you get 7 RVs in there and they're all pumping their effluent at the same time or throughout a 24-hour period, is a residential septic field able to hold the volume of effluent that would come into it? And if it can't, then what happens? Because the lake is a precious asset, and every one of us who owns property on a lake, we realize how important it is to protect it. And you are our protectors. You're there for the common good. You have huge responsibilities around diligence, oversight, management, and following through when there's a complaint. And we all know people are skeptical about politicians. I've been there myself. And it's an undeserved thing when that happens. So we really are looking for answers. We're looking for action. If there's no problem once it's investigated and the case rests, but if there is a problem, then action has to be taken. And we would really appreciate getting feedback on the rightness or the wrongness of this development. And is it in compliance with the bylaws? And if it isn't in compliance, please act on behalf of us all for the common good. Thank you very much.
In response to your statements today, it is not a council responsibility to deal with the municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw. It is a staff function, and that has been passed to our development officer, Wendy Connors, to deal with. So I can assure you that our staff do follow up on all issues under our municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, and that's where it rests at this point. So
thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to give you that update. Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Yes?
Hi there, again, Tracy Brophy, owner of 3 Rock Island Lane, where those trailers sit that these lovely ladies are expressing their concerns about. Miss Francine, I'm sorry I didn't catch your last name, was on our property last week, and we had several conversations, or had a conversation, where I tried to waylay her fears and explain to her regarding her concerns. She was informed at that time that she was on private property. She was not just in the lane, she was physically on our private property, not once but twice that day, as we have a photograph of her on the property. She was told that the septic system is a septic system that was put in by a qualified professional out of Bridgewater who does this on a daily basis, and as council is aware, it was Berrigan's. The septic system has been approved. Mr. Berrigan was aware that we were putting the trailers in there, and he developed that particular septic field specifically to handle this amount of trailers. We tried to tell her that. Her mind was already made up, it seemed, and she did not want to hear. No one in the community wants to hear what we have to say. Everyone has their mind made up that we have done something wrong, that the septic field isn't good enough. You can tell people as many times as you want to that this has been developed by a professional for these trailers, and no one wants to hear it. As far as the trailers and people referring to us as a campground and a development, there is nothing in the bylaws that prevents a person from putting a trailer on their lot. And perhaps they should look around at their communities of lakes that they are on to see the many trailers that sit there. Excuse me. To view the many trailers that sit around their lakes. In particular, there's a lot that has two trailers on it, no septic. If they sit down over a little bit of a hill, so God only knows if a septic pumping truck could even get down there to get the effluent and waste out. They have tarps over the roofs, that's how they live, and there are many other locations that we have driven by that are in degrading shape, yet this community has chosen to harass and attack us. Everyone has the right to cut down trees on their own property. People keep referring to clear cutting. It would be no different if we went in there to build a house or a cottage. You have to get services in there, and trees have to be cut down. Land has to be leveled to be able to put these services in. If you look around these lakes, we have left trees along the waterfront, okay? We have left more trees than what the majority of people on the lake have left. There's a development over in Greenfield that was a cottage for many, many years, yet over the last two summers, they've developed it into probably a 40-foot house that's 5 feet from the lake. They built a rock wall. There's no buffer. There isn't a tree in sight. And they developed a garage on the other side of it and left no 50-foot buffer and no trees. There might be one tree. There's another location that has a trailer, no septic. They took out all the vegetation, they built a rock wall, and they're creating their own beaches. When we get the opportunity to vote on this lake, we see probably, I'm just going to guess that this weekend alone, we've probably seen 7 man-made beaches, one of which has sand that isn't even native to the lake. So, we've left the vegetation. We are behind our property line. We have been in contact with staff here at the Region of Queens multiple times. Excuse me again. And I would like to say again that when we started this process back in September, when we purchased the land, we contacted the Region of Queens and said what we were going to be doing and asked if it was okay to do this, and we were told yes, it was okay. We are not a campground. All the bylaw states is that a campground requires 5 acres. There's nothing that says that you can't put your trailer there if you have an acre and a half. Nothing. And as far as 6, 7, 8 trailers, we are not there 24 hours a day. We are not there 7 days a week. We are not there 365 days per year. We have trailers that come and go as they please. These are our friends and these are my children. Kevin and I and our daughter's trailer are the only ones that are permanently there. As in, we won't be going around taking them to other lots. If our friends choose to do that, that is up to them. We are not a campground, we are not a developer. The septic system will handle that amount of trailers. These trailers are coming and going, so they'll be taking their waste elsewhere. And as I said previously, we are not there 7 days a week. So if you've got a four-bedroom house with people living in it 7 days a week, 365 days a year, this septic system more than accommodates it. The septic system has an alarm on it, so if it fails or if it gets to a point where it needs to be pumped, it will be pumped. That is something that we will stay on top of. We own our own construction company, so we're very aware of what needs to be done. We put in a silt fence that was better than any silt fence that was put in by any developer around the lake. We haven't seen any other development property on any of these lakes use a silt fence like we have. And we would invite each and every member of council out to look at what we have done. In fact, we would enjoy it. And we're not doing it as a way to sway your opinion or put you in a conflict of interest. We would like you to see what we have done. We have not touched the vegetation in front of the lake. There are trees. We will be planting more. We've replanted pines along the driveway. You know, this has to be done over time. It's taken us 7 or 8 months to get the property to where it is now. It's going to take time to put things back in place. More trees and foliage along the shoreline. No one's giving us a chance. Everyone is just on the attack. And if you want to keep coming on our property and attacking us, then we will be calling the RCMP and asking you to leave. It is private property, after all. And we have the right to enjoyment of our property, just as you do. And we're asking that people respect our privacy at this point. But please, members of council, any of the staff who would like to come over and have a look, you know, we've said this many times in when we've been here and in the information that we've put forth, that the services have been put in place. Department of Environment has been there. We invited Department of Natural Resources. Department of Environment had no issue with the septic field, with the silt fence, the boundary lines that we stayed behind the boundary lines. The foliage is growing the way it should be. We've done everything to protect the lake, and I would put forth that we've probably protected that lake more than anyone else on Blackhawk Lake. So, in addition, I would also like to request that, you know, enforce the bylaws as far as people developing the other areas and putting these trailers on that are dilapidated and run down and don't have septic fields and don't have outhouses and things like that. You need to look at the outhouses that are running into the lake as opposed to our septic system, which is developed and approved and looked after by us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Burton. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Yes.
My name is Murray Claude. I live in Mainstream Liverpool. Reading the last post about the ogre, apparently you're not quite sure where the ogre is coming from. You stated that if this lagoons weren't a problem, you'd be looking elsewhere. Mr. McDonald from the Department of Environment, the day that he was up, he was in the lagoon, and he said that wasn't the area where the smell was coming from. And he pointed to the wetland. Have you checked with anybody or talked to Mr. McDonald?
Mr. Cluett, at the time, the end of June, which you were relating to when Department of Environment was on site, you are correct. That Environment representative did indicate that it appeared that the lagoons were not the issue and that the wetland was a concern. At that point in time, we're of the understanding that we had rollover in our primary lagoon. The smell from that lagoon became very significant. The smell from the wetland very insignificant, and at this point in time, experts tell us that the odor is coming from the lagoon. We have been desludging for several weeks. We have had air quality testing done, which is in the last odor report released yesterday, which indicates that the odor all through Milton, Brooklyn, and Liverpool is identified to be coming from the lagoon area.
So Mr. Dong was wrong?
He may not have been wrong at that point in time, but very close to that, that odor direction and location had changed, and I'm not aware of him coming back. And in all fairness to that representative to the Department of Environment, the experts that have indicated the odor is from the lagoon have dealt with these issues in lagoons many, many times, and we're very confident that that information is correct. That is why we are desludging.
And further to this lady's comment, I drove up, actually we were into the what these people are calling a campground. It's certainly a very nice looking spot, and extra care seems to be taken as to what they did. And apparently if somebody has a problem, you guys have a problem, and if you didn't deal with it properly, it's not their fault. They've invested a lot of money and have a very good looking spot out there. And like she said, all you got to do is look around is you should be careful where you point.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning?
Kim Williams, Bar Street. I've heard a little rumor, and I just wanted to ask about it, with the possibility of the more development up and behind Bar Street, is in order to, I know we had a conversation before, if the septic system could handle the sewer, about the new buildings going in, but when they develop more, is that going to be upgraded? Because the upgrades only go to the corner of Crowell, and I've heard that there might be.
So let me give you the quick update, as I understand from the developer when he commenced building the 2 8-unit apartment buildings on Cobbs Ridge Road. The intent of the developer at that time was to build the 16 units, and once they are rented, to build 16 more. I do see that the land is cleared adjacent to those two buildings to build two more apartments. We operate in the region of Queens, a modern septic treatment facility with lagoons. It has a 3.2 million gallon per day capacity. We are putting less than 1 million gallons per day into that system. The additional hookups in Milton and Brooklyn have not taxed that system whatsoever, so we are certainly very capable of adding a significant number of new residents and apartments in Liverpool, Milton, Brooklyn without impacting on the operation of that system.
Oh, I'm talking about pipe size.
The pipe size, to my understanding, was checked by the Region of Queens for development on Cobbs Ridge Road, and it is deemed to be a size that is suitable for those developments.
Oh, okay. One more thing. The down in the waterfront park between the community services building and the Chinese restaurant line park site, there's a bunch of beautiful trees that are planted, and they've wrapped lighting packs around them so that they'll glow at night. I don't know who would be responsible for that, but the lighting has been there so long that it's actually starting to be embedded into the bark. So those need to be stripped off, or else you're going to damage your beautiful trees.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll pass that to Works Department, and they should be removed from that. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Well, thank you all for your comments. We will move on now to 6.0, approval of minutes. We have 6.1, regular council minutes, July 23rd, 2019. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes that circulated previously? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Deputy Mayor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing today under dangerous or unsightly premises under 7.0. Under economic development, we have 8.1, Liverpool Waterfront Development Plan. And I would ask Shandy Rocket, our Director of Economic Development, to come forward, please. We have a recommendation. It's 8.1. Who would like to take the lead on this recommendation?
Do you have that pointer?
Councilor Johnson?
Sure.
I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt proposed waterfront, Liverpool Waterfront Development Plan as prepared by EDM Planning Services, and request that staff begin the process of securing partners and funding to implement all components of the plan.
Second to that, Councilor New.
Nope. Sorry. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, since our last meeting, I sent some recommendations to EDM Planning based on the feedback that we received from council and also from the public. We did post it online and I had several people send emails. I responded to all of them except Kim. I just realized I did not respond to you, so I apologize for that, but I will. The majority of the feedback was really positive, and we heard from most people in the sessions, as well as in the emails and just conversations that I had, because I did meet with a few people. It was really largely positive, and people felt it was a manageable and achievable plan that's not overdeveloping the waterfront. There were some suggestions and concerns that were more around the finer details and not the bigger picture of the concept. So we'll consider and address that once the draft concept has been approved, if it's approved. The flooding issue did come up, but I did try to assure people that flood mitigation efforts would happen before any buildings or development happened on the waterfront. Accessibility issues were also raised. And Nova Scotia has set a goal to be accessible by 2030 under the Accessibility Act, which was passed on April 27th in 2017. So it's a priority of the province and it is a priority of the municipality. So I think it's fairly safe to say that nothing is going to happen that's not accessible. It's legislative. So some of the recommendations that I made to EDM, and I apologize because we haven't received their updated plan yet, so I'll just point out. The beach area, there were a lot of concerns about the current, the quality of the water, and the access to the water. So we asked that they remove access to the water and have just an elevated beach area. Along with the public washrooms, which are here, we asked that they put in a water fountain or places to fill up your water bottle. So that was just a simple fix. And also, they could be elsewhere too, but that would come later. We also asked, because there were some concerns about what this area was, so we asked them to clearly identify that that's a stage area and that this space would be used for festivals and events. And there was also some misunderstanding about the term cabanas. So we just asked that they update that to a different term, like seasonal kiosks for small businesses or services. So I guess what we're looking for today is just approval to move forward with this concept so we can start to approach potential partners and look for funding opportunities. There's two elections coming up in the next 2 years, the federal one this year and the provincial one next year. So there might be a stronger willingness to fund a development like this, particularly because there's elements of flood mitigation and climate change adaptation. So if you've had a chance to look at your package, the plan moving forward is to hopefully have this approved so we can start that work. When the flood mitigation plan comes out, then we'll work with that and we'll make appropriate adjustments as necessary. Obviously, the flood mitigation plans are going to form a part of this plan because it really has to. Once We've considered what those efforts are going to be. Then we'll do a final detailed plan that will have more of those elements that people have brought up, like where the accessibility, you know, where those elements are, and more, I guess, finer detail about what's going to be here. And we'll do some engagement around that as well. The parking lot and the road redesign, which I'm sorry, I don't know why this is so small, but yeah, so the plan is if there are flood mitigation efforts, then that can be built into that. So when they do any mitigation down here, if they have to do things in the parking lot, maybe we can put it back with these things in mind. And then we'll just work with partners and funding organizations to work on the recreation area, which is here, the kind of cultural area, and then the tourism and sort of kids area, and the farmers market, of course. And then the best case scenario, oh, we also have some facade development that we'll work on as well. So the best case scenario would be that the concept is approved in August, so that staff and myself can move forward to find out who those partners might be and find some funding opportunities. I'll come back in December to give a presentation to council with more specific costs and a more detailed plan. January, we would submit funding applications to the federal and provincial governments. And then when the budget happens in March, hopefully this would include the Liverpool waterfront, which would also coincide with the 25th anniversary of Queens. And then, yeah, by August 2021, hopefully we'd have a celebration down there. And I think that's it. But I want to say that in order for us to move forward on this, we really need to have the support of council, because it would be really important to the community and also to stakeholders and funding agencies. And it just shows that people need to feel confident that what they're investing in is supported. And there has been a lot of public support, so I'm really hopeful. Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
Councillors, have any questions or comments of Kenny on this issue? Councillor Fancy?
I got two things. One thing, you definitely need something there for you to be able to project your voice a little bit more than some people like.
Right.
You can't hear anything back there. Next to some other mic.
We did check that mic last meeting, and it was disconnected.
Oh.
I'm assuming it is connected again at this point.
Can you hear that?
Sorry.
I can't hear that.
It's not the mic. We're going to have to have something that they can be able to put on, like a lapel mic that keeps you close to the face, that you can be able to adjust the volume and be able to get people.
We need to do more research.
That's right. But we've been talking about that forever. So.
Okay, so it's not just me.
Hopefully get a lapel mic or something soon. I was talking to a couple ladies down at Bank of Montreal, and they said they tried to put some, when it was on site, to be able to put their opinions in. They couldn't get in. They just wouldn't let them in. I don't know what happened. So anyway.
It was just an email, so I'm not sure.
I have no idea, because
yeah, okay.
I never tried. They just said they tried. They just came back at them.
Okay.
Anyway, so there's a couple things that
you have. If you talk to them, please just ask them to, I mean, you have my email, maybe you can pass it along to them if there was a problem and they want to resend it.
I'm going to pass on the two things I said.
So
at least you'll have them. They were concerned about the setup of the parking that will limit the parking that we have. I know the configuration, everything's all good, but it will take away some parking spots. It was all open before. That's what they were worried about.
Okay, and there won't actually be any loss of parking spaces. There might have been a couple, but it was very minimal.
Yeah. And I guess also too, since we have that 30-minute parking thing down there, we need to be able to work on that better, that people, because a lot of employees and things are all parking down in the area, and so people who are coming to shop or have to park way away and have to walk over because of the, so you need to be able to do something different there anyway, whatever.
I had no idea that there was a 30-minute parking.
It's
yeah.
Just,
okay.
Just
yeah.
If I may, there's no 30-minute parking anywhere in Liverpool. There's 3-hour parking.
3 hours, sorry.
There's 3-hour parking in half the parking
okay.
lot.
Okay.
There's all-day parking on the other part of the parking lot.
Yeah.
So if employees want to park there, they just park in the all-day section, which is over by the Legion. The other part
gotcha.
Of it is
3 hours. It's
3 hours. Okay.
Sorry, I meant to say 3 hours. I didn't mean 30 minutes. Sorry about that. It was 3 hours. So they have 3 hours, but the employees are parking there.
Right.
And taking up the space. And so people, we're getting into a senior society, and they're having to park, and they're coming into the bank saying, look, there's no place to park because everybody's parking and taking up those spots and stuff, and they're just there all day. And the other thing, which I know we've talked about before here, the parking lot flooding and where it comes up to the grate there in front of Memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we say that it comes either from back to the drain or it comes through underground. I think when it bubbles up inside the grating, that's coming back to the drain, it seems like to me. So there must be something that, I know you have to have some kind of a non-return valve on there, so when the flood, when the water goes up, it shouldn't come back through, but it's
yeah.
coming back through, so
right.
it's something maybe we do a better system of some sort to be able to stop that one, because it's definitely not working right now.
Yeah, I think Brad and his team are looking into that, is that correct, Chris? Yeah.
That's all part of the flooding mitigation study?
Yeah.
Yes. So, but this is what they're bringing to me, so I'm just...
Yep, no, that's...
I'm bringing it to you. That's it.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
There was a lot of talk about the building
mm-hmm.
there, the two-story building. Has there been any changes to that?
No, it's a two... I mean, we're still considering that right now it would be a two-story building, but... I mean, that could change depending on who we find as tenants or
okay.
who's interested in it. So
okay.
I think that's the idea is just that there will be a building there
okay.
of some kind that will be an anchor for
okay.
that area that could host the farmers market and some other entity.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor McLeod?
Jenny, when you're talking about the parking lot
mm-hmm.
down closer to Market Street,
yep.
Are you considering then putting in curbs and sort of taking away the flat area?
Yeah, so.
And putting in curbs and some type
okay.
of vegetation?
Let's see if I can just blow this up a little bit for that area. Yeah, so all these like sort of lines right here, and around here. Sorry, my hand's shaking. Here and all this. These are all curbs. And then green, whatever greenery we want to add, if any. So, yeah, it would be raised curbs so that when people cross, they're like coming from a sidewalk to another sidewalk. So it's not like just walking across the parking
so,
lot hoping
so that's,
that.
So that's down Henry Henze Drive then, sort
yes.
of bordering each side.
Yeah.
I had visions of the parking spaces within that, to the right of that. Are you putting some curbs and some growth in there, or it's
along
all flat
the buildings
now,
here?
It's just lines.
Along the buildings, you mean?
No, the complete parking lot itself. Right now, it's just lines that are for people to park.
Right.
So my main reason for asking this or bringing up the topic is we have to look at our maintenance department and their snow plowing. Is it going to be an issue for the snow clearing and that sort of thing in the wintertime?
No.
Because that's going to be adding more of an area where they're going to have to, you know, work the way around all of these structures. So
yeah, I think
really
that's
that.
Fine. We've talked to them about that. That's fine.
And so they're okay with that?
Yep.
This. You're talking accessibility from Main Street to the parking lot as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I may have missed this, but Gorham Street goes from the bottom of where Memories Cafe is up to Main Street.
Yep.
So
right here.
What's along there? What are you doing with that spot?
So this is just going to be a pedestrian path, green space.
A path?
I guess. I mean, I think that the details are not all nailed down right now. Like, this is just a bigger picture. Like, this is going to be a pedestrian space from the waterfront to Main Street. I don't know what kind of trees are going to be there or what kind of grasses are going to be there, but it's going to be green somehow. And we know that deliveries go in here, so there will have to be some kind of space left open for that.
That was my concern, is that when you go into that area now, because people access it for in behind there, behind Memories, and
yes.
And for the
SPCA shop,
SPCA
and the
shop
Main
and the Salvation Army thrift store. But there's a beautiful planter that's up close to Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all there is just a little path, and it's very awkward, especially in the winter time. People use that as an access way to the parking lot.
Right.
So hopefully there'll be consideration, and I would say that there should be consideration for a safe, widening that somehow and making it a safe walkway through,
mm-hmm.
rather than just an incline down, because it very seldom, it's a kind of the last place that gets cleared as well.
Okay.
And there's always water and ice that's falling down from the main building there, the old, we still refer to it as the Harding's Menswear building.
Okay.
And I've been here a long time and I'll always refer to it as that. But you have to consider a safe, accessible way to get from Main Street down. So
of
is
course.
That part of this plan?
Yeah, I think we wouldn't put something in that wasn't safe.
I know
but
that, but I'm just saying, just are you considering
yes,
improving
of course.
That?
Yeah, I mean, I think all these connections we're thinking about making improvements to. Yeah, like there's another one a little bit further down.
It would be nice if that could be done as initial part of the plan, because people use that now.
Right.
So the other stuff can be done when needed, but when it's available. But that part is really a really serious situation in the wintertime, especially.
Okay.
So if you could look at that
sure.
as one of the priorities, that would be good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Councilor Fairley?
I guess I understand why this is on the agenda today, because we do have to move forward with it. What I don't understand is why we don't have an updated plan based on all the concerns and additions that were added. So
haven't received it yet from them.
I understand that, but I also don't like voting on something that takes us back to the original and, you know, later on down the road, if we have issues, they'll say that we voted on it based on what we're looking at now. But it feels like there was a lot of additions and changes, some of them that you covered. But I'm not sure why we're not waiting till we get the, you know, this is consultants that should be able to deliver if it's on the agenda.
Agreed.
Anyone have anything to say about that?
Oh, I think Jenny has agreed that it would be nice to have the final plan. I'm certain we all agree with that. It provides two opportunities for council today, either to pass the motion that's before you or to amend it to have the final plan or to defer the motion to a future meeting.
I think that part of it was we really wanted to move forward on this because time is getting short, and I mean, we're going into the federal election in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Time feels a little bit limited, and it would be nice to start working with people and finding stakeholders and opportunities for funding and getting those sorts of things in place. And waiting until the end of August or whenever it comes, it just didn't. It felt like a little bit more pressing.
For me, it feels like we're pushing a plan that's not completely up to date through, just so we can do that, where 2 weeks from now we could have maybe had a plan that was, you know, with the changes.
Right. So there were fairly minor changes. I will say that. There's only the, like, no public access here, a labeled stage area, water stations, the renaming of the cabanas to what they more accurately represent.
One of the concerns that I brought up was about the area between the BIC and the bridge.
Yes.
That's always been labeled prime waterfront area.
Yep.
Which absolutely has nothing added to it. And so we're going to move forward with nothing in that area?
Well, I don't know that that needs to be decided right now. I mean, it is parking right now. If there was something else there, I guess it would mean a loss of parking. So you'd have to be okay with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess, Mr. Chairman, no one is, other than some brief comments about wanting to do something with that parking area, no one's come forward with any suggestions. And so it would be unfortunate for us to leave here today and go back and redesign it, and then come back in a month's time, and then someone say, well, we didn't do anything with the parking, so we haven't done anything with that parking area because no one's come forward with an issue what to put there.
But isn't that why we hired a consultant to come up with ideas for that?
And the consultant looked at it. The consultant said that is best left with the parking. You want people to have an experience. They want to be able to get very close to the waterfront. And so that provides them with opportunity to get really close to the waterfront and park there without any reduction in parking. And the other parking is all significantly away, obviously, on Hindemans Drive, further away. And that was their deliberation. They talked about that. They talked about putting a green space between there and the waterfront. And at the end of the day, they didn't do that. They came back and said this was their plan. This is what they think is the best option.
But is that what we've talked about? Because we've tried different initiatives on that space. We wanted it to be, in forward other discussions, we wanted it to be the food truck area. And we were told definitely that was, they had bigger plans for that. So now you're taking the food truck area, and I don't see that on there anywhere. So I'm not sure why we haven't addressed that, because that was one of our priorities. And it made us make decisions based on that. We made a decision to move the food truck there because there was a big plan coming for that area. And now it's virtually empty, and you know, people sit there and throw garbage and cigarette butts. So I'm still not sure that's the best use of prime waterfront area. So,
I mean, yeah. I don't think that having parking spaces here means that there can't ever be food trucks there. Like, I mean, there's... So these parking spaces right here, along here, are quite big for like trailers or whatever who are pulling into the VIC. Mm-hmm. But I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be able to have, like if there was a festival or something like that, why we wouldn't be able to have them there. I mean,
I guess my point is that if we vote on this today, and I'm in favor of moving forward for sure, is that going to come back in future discussions when if we decide we want to move the food trucks over there? And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, we're reminded that we voted on this to leave the prime waterfront area empty. So I just want to make sure down in the future that we're not limiting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like, absolutely, you're open for discussion for all of it.
For sure.
But I still have hesitation, so.
Councillor Freddick, today's the first time I've heard about any plan for any food truck area. So I'm not sure where that discussion took place or with who.
Well, it was before your time, for sure.
But it hasn't come up in any of the public consultations. It hasn't come up with anybody else until now.
But we have a food truck area at the moment.
I would say we have a food truck area. We have an area where we allow food trucks to go with power.
That is a dedicated food truck area. And I would ask the other councillors to...
We have a policy. So that had to be rewritten to allow it. There have to be a new policy because we're taking away the food truck area.
And I don't see it in these plans, so but just concerns.
And what does a food truck area look like to you?
We talked so much about this in the past, and it was prior to both of you being here, but the food truck area was supposed to be something that was active and had more than one truck in it, that was visible to the public coming through. That's why we were really wanting it over closer to the bridge. It's hidden now, so people can't, they come across the bridge. Other than Andrew's sign, that's the only way. But if you go to other places, food trucks all gather in one area become a food truck area. So what it looks like depends on how far you go with it. So, but it was supposed to be the area where the Legion property was, was supposed to be a dedicated food truck area with many food trucks in there, and we added power for that. You know, there's supposed to be signage. To date, there's no signage. There was a lot that was supposed to happen, but we didn't have the uptake on it because people felt that it was too far out of the way. So those are the things I'd like to see included in that. And, you know, if you have a consultant and they see a food truck down there, of course they didn't see one in January, but that has to be part of the conversation. So I just want to make sure that we're not going to go backwards on what we've already worked hard on, whether it was right or wrong. So.
Thank you, Councillor Corbett. Deputy Mayor Kelly, yes?
Well, I just want to clarify that, you know, as Jenny says, this is the bigger picture. This is the plan for the waterfront. We need to move forward now. There's no point in having a finalized plan right now because it relies on the flood mitigation study. What was the other thing? It's relying on funding partners as well. So all we're moving forward on today is to be able to look at funding partners, because this whole thing could change based on flood and funding partners. So it's no point to get into the weeds right now on this. It's moving forward with a plan on our waterfront, and it's a budget as well. It depends on what the budget will allow, what all this thing costs. We have no idea at the moment, except it's going to be a lot, how much money we'll need to put aside in the budget for next year. So all of this depends on that. It will come back, I'm sure, to council a number of times for final approval, so there'll be plenty of opportunities to speak about, and the fact that we do have a policy and we are removing the food truck area at the moment, that will have to be a future discussion as well. So all of these things will not be lost in the plan, because there'll be many discussions, and in this case I'm getting confirmation that there'll be plenty more discussions and opportunities to approve and make changes to this waterfront plan as we move forward.
Councillor Johnson?
Well, I'm going to speak in favor of moving this forward as quickly as possible, because in my 3-year tenure here on council, this is the first thing that I've seen from this council that's exciting. And it's working towards what we said day one as we came to this table, that we needed to do something with the waterfront. Are we going to appease 100% of the people 100% of the time? Absolutely not. But are we going to sit here and wait another 2 weeks and another 2 weeks and then miss funding opportunities? I think that would be a crime. So I think go forward as a work in progress, and if there's areas that can be addressed further on, and after all, we did hire consultants who are the experts, you know, and they're the ones who make the recommendations, and they've got a track record as long as you're in, and a good track record. So I definitely support moving this forward as quickly as possible.
Councilor McLeod?
Jenny, up in the park close to the bridge,
mm-hmm.
the wharf area,
mm-hmm.
I know probably that will be part of the flood situation when they come up with a plan for flooding remediation, I understand.
Okay.
Could be. My question about that is, have you considered improving that area for the users? Like this time of year, people are using the wharf. I mean, it's a great recreation for mackerel fishing,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. But there's nothing there for them other than a wharf.
Right.
I mean, there might be a few benches that are along that are the stone ones, but there should be a nice little area for these people to use,
mm-hmm.
as a welcoming spot for them, and it's kids, it's adults, it's all ages,
yeah.
And a couple of bike racks. There might be bike racks there, I do not know. But
yeah, I don't know.
No. And I think that should be another addition too, is more bike racks down in that area, all along the waterfront, because it can certainly be utilized more for that purpose.
Yep.
There's very few up on Main Street, so I think that, and more garbage cans and more of that. You really have to look at it as people are there now using it,
mm-hmm.
what's missing? What do they need to make it more of a usable space?
Mm-hmm.
And it's less work for us in the long term.
Right, and I think that they've considered that. I mean, they did, I can't see it right now. I mean, they did green the space a little bit more and made it bigger. They didn't actually make any changes to the space, but like, I don't see why that, you know, as we move forward, why things can't be added there. I mean, again, this is sort of big picture concept.
And maybe consult with those people that are using it. What do they need?
Yeah.
Because they're there often.
Yeah.
A question about funding. If you put in funding applications now,
mm-hmm.
and you have to list in your applications the purpose of the money, where it's going to be used,
mm-hmm.
are we tied to that? I mean, are we restricted to only doing what that application says? Because obviously there are going to be changes, as we were talking about this morning. So
yeah.
when you make applications, can you change the whole concept again and still use that dollars that they're approving?
I mean, I haven't actually researched any funding opportunities yet because we're not there.
But we've done other funding before. Municipalities, we've applied to ACOA and all these other funding
mm-hmm.
agencies before.
Yeah.
So are we restricted to doing what the application says? Because you have to put in there what you're doing.
CAO, would you like to address that?
We submit an application. We have every expectation to default to that application. If we decide to change it, then we have to ask in writing permission to alter it. And it's up to the funding agency's discretion whether they approve the alteration or whether they decline.
So why are we doing this now then if we don't have a complete plan that we're approving?
We are not. The recommendation is we would do that in January after we have a more detailed final design plan
okay.
costed out,
right.
which is on page 4 of the report.
Okay.
Does that address your comments?
Yes,
Councillor. Councillor Fancy?
Yes, going back somewhat to what Councillor Frelick said, I think it's more of a trust issue of understanding that we can, when we go forward, we can be able to make changes and not saying that somewhere along the way say, oh, sorry, we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes the issue. And I guess we have to go forward on the trust issue that the availability and the opportunity is going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So Councillor Johnson said, I think the opportunity is now and we have to go forward with it. But you know, it's always that the other end is we just have to hope to. It's going
yeah.
to be what we say we're going to do, we follow up on it.
Any other questions or comments of councillors?
Just one thing, if I can. It says March approves the capital plan and budget, which includes Liverpool's 25th anniversary development plan. Is that what this is called?
But what we're proposing, yeah.
Pardon me?
That's what we're proposing, yes.
So it's been 25 years we've been trying to develop the waterfront.
No,
we
can speak to that.
No.
Am I celebrated?
Region of Queens will be 25 years old in 2021. So this is a plan to work on in 2020 and 2021.
Amalgamation occurred in 1996.
Yes, yes. So we had March, Council approved the capital planning budget, which includes Liverpool Waterfront 25th anniversary development plan. That seems to, as I read it, it looks like we've had the waterfront development for 25 years. Have we?
Okay. I mean, I've only been here since September. I don't know.
It just seems confusing.
We can remove that word.
We can. Okay. We can remove that word.
It's just a technical thing.
Councilor Fisk?
I just feel I feel that the project should certainly, the recommendation today should go move forward. I think that there certainly will be changes in the near future of the whole plan, and just to get it started, I think we need to start somewhere. So, I really think we should move forward.
Yeah, we need to start somewhere, and it does feel like a really positive thing for the community. So,
any other questions or comments of councillors today? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. And thank you, Penny.
Thank you. Yay!
Painless, wasn't it?